you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and
hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio. During our first hour, we were very privileged to have Randy Kramer on the show, and we'll be continuing our discussion with Randy here for the second hour. Also, we'll be bringing on some wonderful people briefly at the beginning, including Rob Potter, to talk about his wonderful UFO conference next month at Mount Shasta, as well as James Gillian. We'll try to reach him down in Trout Lake, Washington. I want to thank everyone for supporting the program. It's with your help that we're raising consciousness and making this world a better place. We are entirely supported by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And for those who'd like a reading, a psychic reading, I've been a psychic for over 20 years now. I'd be happy to give you a reading. Just give me a call at 509-750-9793 or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Well, we have one last thing I wanted to remind everyone. I mentioned this before. Ray Chandran is Japan's most famous spiritual healer. He's at the Interfaith Community Sanctuary over there in Ballard, just north of Seattle on 67th. He's giving a workshop today and tomorrow. Tomorrow it started at 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. He's a wonderful man, a good friend of mine. And if you'd like to go to his workshop, you can just show up tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. The cost is $100 or 50% discount for students and low income. If you need more information, just give me a call at 509-750-9793 or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd love to go to my friend Rob Potter down at the Mount Shasta area. Rob, are you there?
I'm here, Ted. How are you guys doing?
Oh, fine. We have Randy on the line, too.
Oh, Randy who?
Randy Kramer of the Earth of the Mars Defense Force.
Oh, really good. Hi, Randy. Nice to talk to you. I like your work. It's exciting stuff. I predicted people like you coming out some years ago. I met a military guy who came and showed me some stuff. He's kind of one of the early guys that broke out back in the late 70s. He was one of those guys who'd go on board with the Greys. He broke his mind control and was chosen and by the good guys, and he's been spending half his time up on space stations with the good guys. So
wonderful.
Nice to hear you guys coming out and sharing the info.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Rob. Well, Rob, could you, for my listeners who aren't familiar with your wonderful Mount Shasta conference, could you please tell my many listeners about your wonderful conference, Rob?
Well, our conference is called Mount Shasta Conference. I have one every year. And this year it's called Interplanetary Cultural Exchange. I used to kind of theme it along those lines. And I'm going to have yourself, Scott Lemrill, Alex Collier, the Andromeda Contact, me, Michael Sala, James Gillen, myself, and several others. So there's going to be Craig Campobasso, Stranger at the Pentagon, and of course our headliner is actually a woman from Venus. Her name is Omnek Omnek. She came here living from a higher density vibration on Venus and actually came to Earth in a physical body through a kind of a complex metaphysical process. But she's absolutely a sweetheart. And so she's going to be there for people to meet and share the information, the spiritual wisdom. There's a lot of politics, a lot of confusion, and Randy Kramer, Tori Good ET, and a lot of other people, Cobra, information is going to be filtering into the mainstream consciousness still very shortly. And we'll be causing some far-ranging repercussions, societal conflict type ideas and beliefs in people who are unaware of this reality. And one of the things about our conference, Ted, is we are anchored in the spiritual perspective because thoughts come and thoughts go, beliefs come and go, civilization, governments come and go, but we always have our relationship to the divine, and that's what this transformation is about, is actually the revelation of the truth consciousness and telling people or letting people have the tools to be able to explore and experience for themselves the information that will be revealed as to who we are, where we came from, genetically, historically, the true history of our planet. For thousands and thousands of years on this planet will be revealed in the near future. We're going through the baby step process now, and it's incredibly fantastic information of what's been taking place, and many of the innocent individuals in these programs who've been used and abused through mind control and all of the different aspects of the criminal activity, who've been doing things against their will and their conscious decision, are now being liberated to tell and reveal the truth so that those of us can actually wrap our heads and minds around this information, and then the proof will be given, and then, of course, the benevolent extraterrestrials, which I believe are still waiting in the wings to a certain extent while all this plays out. And we're just going to have a great conference up there. I mean, I can just tell you it's going to be a very unique event. This is not held in a room. It's in a national forest. We're off the grid. We have a modern room, campsite. We're going to be swimming in the lake, night watches with James Gilliland and lasers. We're going to have infrared cameras and night vision goggles for those who want to see it. We're going to have great music, movies, good times, and lots of wonderful information. You'll be able to hang out with your favorite speaker in between times, have lunch with them, and we'll become a family. And looking forward to having you and everyone else there. It's going to be a great time, Ted.
Thank you so much, Rob. For information and tickets, just send me an email or go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and go up to the upper right-hand corner where it says Summer 2015 Events, or give me a call at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today, my friend, and I look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you very much. I'd also like to mention, I could mention my website. It's called
Absolutely.
ThePromiseRevealed.com.
Okay,
and you can also check out your tickets there and get some stuff. There's some great information. I work a lot in healing technology with crystals and advanced theater faith radionics. And I have a host of interviews in my own radio show there, too.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Ted. And Randy, keep on sharing the truth and stay safe, y'all, okay?
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you,
have a wonderful day,
hey,
my friend.
Said,
okay.
Yeah, maybe you can, Randy, maybe I can interview you on my show. Would you be open to that?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Why not? Sounds like fun.
Sounds great. I'm going to have Ted forward me your contact information after the show.
Absolutely. James and Ashley have all my info.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. Yeah, absolutely. Great.
All right. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Rob. Take care.
Good, wonderful. Well, we're back now with Randy on the air, and we'll try to reach James Gillian now to see if he's available. I know that he had another conference today, and he wasn't sure whether he'd be able to come on the air. Just real briefly, Randy, one thing I wanted to ask you, and that's the basis for your disclosure. I mean, I think it's probably safe to say that 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, Randy, if you or someone like you had come forward with this important information about this secret space program, that you might not live very long. Could you explain how you came to disclose this?
Sure. I'll say this first. There's always been a difference between sanctioned and unsanctioned, you know, whistleblowers or people coming forward, and it's kind of always been the same. You know, a person who has been sanctioned by their superiors or by somebody for one reason or another is the person who's going to live the longest. And typically the people who were unsanctioned or were not given permission are the people who were, you know, hunted down and die in motel rooms, you know, hanging from a hook or get chased to other countries with all kinds of threats of legal repercussions.
Sure.
So that's always been the case.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, the United States Marine Corps Special Section Special Code outlines circumstances under which sort of general operating procedures of the operational government become affected by these sort of military intelligence you know, rogue projects and or interference from, you know, extraterrestrial persons, consortiums, et cetera, then we are empowered to basically, you know, ignore secrecy agreements and have mandates which are to restore, you know, legal, legislative, executive authority over programs that have gone astray. Because Eisenhower essentially, you know, had that sort of written into the code because he knew that that was going to be the problem down the road. You know, the main problem was going to be people slipping away from oversight, and some group of military personnel that had a mandate to restore that legal authority might, you know, offer a corrective measure. So it was kind of his long, you know, term punt slash Hail Mary of, you know, hope this works. You know, long after his death, you know, let's hope that it does. So essentially, that's the basis. It's written into the special section, special code, and my superiors certainly were coming to the place where they felt like they had done everything they could do at the table by putting their reports on the table and saying, well, we disagree, you know, on these legal, moral, or ethical grounds, and you can only get told no so many times before you're not able to do your job. And so, you know, they're able to find these sections in the special section, special code, which outline the specific conditions under which officers may act in their moral conscience to restore legislative, executive, and legal authority. So, based on some of those articles, then is, you know, they developed some short list of officers to sort of kick out into the open, into the fray, and I sort of got whittled down to the last few on that list, and for whatever reason, got picked out. So when my brigadier general asked me if I wanted to go public, I was not really in favor of the idea. But he convinced me. You know, I mean, not like in any kind of, you know, do it or else kind of way. Really, in just a very, well, let's talk about this and let me explain you why we think it would be a really good idea for you to do
sure,
this.
Sure.
So it was a very cooperative conversation and a very respectful conversation. I wasn't ordered to do anything. He knew that I would be taking a huge amount of risk onto my own shoulders by doing this, even though I'm protected and even though they keep a close eye after on me and all that. You know, still I'm a guy out in front sticking his head up. So you know, they knew that it had to be my choice, and after some convincing, I agreed, and so here we are.
Well, I would like to say thanks to your military commanders and officers who've encouraged you to come forward with this information, and it makes me feel really good that there is a section of the of our government that's actually on our side and that wants disclosure of this to give us the information we need, and to know that we have these technologies, that it's possible to have free energy on this planet to create a much happier and much better planet than we now have, and there's no need for the struggle. I mean, if we if they released some of these technologies that they have on the dark side of the moon and Mars, we could truly make a far different and far better planet, I think. We wouldn't struggle over war, for example, not over war, but over oil, for example. But there's lots of benefits from that, certainly, and I'm so glad that your commanding officers had you do this, and my thanks to them.
Well, I'll just, on behalf of them, I can give you, you're very welcome then. And I'll just say this, that, again, the psychological profile of the people who've been in sort of charge of the main sort of industrial economic structure of the covert military space program are these sort of feudalist social Darwinists. But you have to understand that a huge amount of the personnel that make up the body of the covert military space program are military officers. And those military officers are traditionalists, and many of them are constitutionalists, and many of them are, you know, the caste of the soldiering caste of their countries or this country's, where their father was, you know, an officer, and their grandfather and their great-grandfather, all as far back as they can count. So as things have gotten less legal and have gotten more roguish and more out of control, I can assure you that none of those officers were happy about it and just said, oh, well, they all kind of went, hey, that's not okay, grumble, grumble, grumble. And that grumbling over time has turned into, you know, organized efforts by what really has become a larger, what was silent majority that is now a more vocal majority that, you know, really democratically and numbers-wise outnumbers the members of the cabal, and can say, you know, You're not the only people who get to make the decisions in this process, and we all are part of in this process. And so that has just shifted a thing, a lot of things, both conversations, diplomacy, and, you know, as far as who shoots it, who, over what circumstance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've been in touch with Scott Lemriel, wonderful guy. He's the author of The Saver's Agenda. Introduced me about a year ago to his works, as well as to some of his contacts, including Ambassador Trevelyan of the Galactic Alliance. The Galactic Alliance, of course, is an alliance of 435 million planets in this one-third of the Milky Way galaxy. They have approximately 7 trillion member entities within their alliance. They are mostly but not all human. They are between 50 and 100,000 years technologically advanced ahead of this planet, as well as between 30 and 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. And he just came in now, and he's applauding you for your work, Randy. And he said that the Alliance itself has been working behind the scenes to remove some of the negative influences, influence the negative influence, and to transform them as well from negatively based attitudes to positively based, to be so that this planet can become the true benevolent, wonderful planet that we're destined to have. So this is, and you're part of that. And once again, my thanks to your commanding officers. They're doing a wonderful job. And I'm sure all of my listeners in more than 60 countries around the world also really appreciate your work, Randy, as well as we're supporting you. We're supporting you not only saying it, but also spiritually as well. Thanking you for your efforts to bring this to the public knowledge.
Well, you're very welcome. I do my best to do my duty. That's pretty much it. So I appreciate the pat on the back, and you're welcome. All in a day's work and all that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I have to ask you about a couple more things, if I may. Let's come back to planet Earth now. With respect to chemtrails, do you have much knowledge as to why certain sectors of our government is spraying chemtrails into the atmosphere here?
Sure. I mean, the geoengineering trails, for the most part, are a variety of chemicals and substrates which are presumed to have geoengineering effects, so that they will affect either ultraviolet light coming into the skies, or will affect cloud levels, or reflect precipitation levels, or weather. A lot of it is a localized industry, state-by-state kind of program. So while the military does do some spraying, and while there are some sort of larger, you know, military intelligence, federal programs, et cetera, the majority of the spraying that's going on by these airplanes are local, industrial, and at a state level, which is part of the reason why it's so heavily unregulated, is because you have industry on a state level who thinks, well, if we dump this into the air, that'll, you know, keep our crops from getting burned by the UV. Or if we put this in, you know, it'll help, you know, it mass pesticides to get rid of, you know, insects and things that they think could be problematic because of changing temperatures where you don't have the same kind of winter die-offs as you used to. So those are some, like, seriously just, like, dumping so much crap into the air that we don't really know what all the effects are, as nerve toxins, as biological toxins. So there's a tremendous amount of these effects that are just people being stupid and selfish and local based on an industrial or some kind of statewide program, and dumping tons of crap in the air that affect people's brains, bodies, and their metabolisms in all kinds of different ways. Now, that being said, there are also military planes which, you know, spray toxic crap and anti-psionic spray and things like that over certain situations in certain places. We do understand that there's an effort to, you know, sort of spray things in the air that are designed to sort of irritate people, or, you know, sort of fluoridate the air and make them docile or stupid. I can't really say, you know, what's in everything, because I'm not standing there, you know, by the pumps and the tanks, you know, watching the pressure gauges and seeing exactly what chemicals are going into what batches. All I know is that because it's unregulated, it's a whole bunch of crap that, you know, we need to not have in our airspace. So the main thing that I would sort of say about that is we need to push for a much, much heavily admitted existence you know, that we're just going to snap our fingers or, you know, turn over a new leaf and then all of a sudden geoengineering's brain's going to stop. It's ridiculous. The only way it's going to stop is if we decide that we that it's an actual industry and that it's actually taking place, and then it has to be heavily regulated, which will include that, you know, the military can't just pump stuff in the air, and NASA can't just pump stuff into the air, and some local agri company can't just pump stuff into the air to essentially end that as a practice. But it's going to take admission and regulation to get there. But it's for a ton of different things. It's for so many different things that there's just no way to put a pin or a blame on any one party or any one thing. It's just for so many different things that you could possibly think of where someone just said, hey, wouldn't the easiest thing to do just be spray a whole bunch of that from an airplane? And then when a couple of people go, yeah, that would be the easiest thing to do, then they, you know, put it in a plane and start spraying it out the back.
Well, from my listeners in Eastern Washington, I spent a number of years there. I moved from there late last year over to the west side of the state. And over here in the Seattle area, the air is much cleaner. And one of the reasons why it's much cleaner is because they don't get the they get some chemtrails, but it's not the frequency that you get. For example, in Moses Lake, Washington, I had the University of Wisconsin do tests on the air, water, and also on the fish in the lake there. Because every two or three days, there's U.S. Navy planes dumping this black stuff out of their wings. Typically, it's an Orion P-30. There's seven different trails out of it. You can see it. Everybody's there. They come as close as 60 yards from the ground.
Wow.
And I sent off air, water, and fish samples to the University of Wisconsin in Madison to their state lab. And here's the results they said. They said that if this was a... The aluminum rates are between 10,000 to 9,000 milligrams per cubic meter of air.
Wow.
The fish in the lake have up to 200 milligrams per kg of aluminum. Aluminum,
wow,
of course, causes Alzheimer's, and the Alzheimer's rates are high in the area. There's also barium and strontium. Barium is 8,000, and strontium is about 8,000.
Wow.
Milligrams in the area. And the sulfur is dumping tons of sulfur. Now, last summer, they were dumping tons of sulfur because I've got the scientific proof. People can't say, if somebody asks me, says, where's the proof? I've got the proof from the soils, from the air, water, and fish samples. And the sulfur was being dumped at a point when the temperatures were ranging between 100 to 125 degrees Fahrenheit because it was a hot summer. Well, you
right.
add sulfur to that, it makes it even hotter.
Right.
And you kind of wonder what's going on. I've moved from there. It's the air is cleaner over in Seattle. I've had reports there is some chemical spraying, but it's not as the frequency is not as much, and it's higher elevation, if that makes a difference. But
right,
yeah, it's a wonder why they're doing it. And there's a complete news media blackout in Eastern Washington. The newspapers and radio, they just don't from last year anyway. They wouldn't say anything about what was going on. But
yeah, for some reason it's still in one of these sort of tinfoil hat areas when
right.
we were really way beyond, you know, any tinfoil hat talking about geoengineering tales or chemical spraying. I mean, it's so obvious and so well recorded, you know,
right.
that it's pretty blatant that we know that it's happening. And you know, there just needs to be, like I said, an admission and a regulation of it to get it to stop and deal with it. Because it just can be any number of things. And again, when you're talking about the kind of military spraying, yeah, who knows, you know,
yeah.
what kind of experiments
yeah.
they're conducting
yeah.
and saying, hey, what happens if we dump a bunch of strontium and aluminum and barium on people
right.
and then just kind of look at the cancer rates or the, you know, Alzheimer's rates go up. And,
and
go, well,
stillburn.
Study.
It also decreases population because, you know, a lot of young couples
right.
End up getting stillborn
right.
children. And the other thing, too, that was really interesting is that it's a little bit like a science fiction movie, because here you've got these planes flying overhead regularly every two or three days, and my friends tell me they're still doing it. But the media doesn't report on it. People get sick. I remember back in 2013 I had this persistent cough that lasted for 8 months. It was from heavy metals, and I didn't feel better until I got the metals chelated out. I'm glad not to live there now. I had an environmental scientist from Pennsylvania on my radio show last year, and she said at these high levels of toxicity, if this was a work site regulated by the U.S. Department of Labor, everything would shut down. Nobody would be
right.
able to live there, work there, because the air, water, and the vegetables, everything is toxic.
Right.
Toxic soup. It's uninhabitable, and it's thanks to our government doing it. So I can't figure it out still, but it's happening, and the media doesn't report on it. I do, but they don't.
Well, I appreciate you reporting on it, and I know that, and I have seen, you know, enough photographs, not just of, you know, planes overhead, but, you know, the guy standing by the tanks in the back of the planes, and, you know, we're definitely having the levels of what evidence we have that this exists and goes on is way beyond, you know, again, tinfoil hat wears pointing to the sky.
Right.
I know that we're getting more discussion, and we're still, it's one of those American media blackout issues,
right,
where everyone
exactly.
else in the world is talking about extraterrestrials and,
right.
you know, vehicles visiting and talking about geoengineering trails, and we're
right.
still just like, well, what, ETs, geoengineering, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So, yeah, it's still kind of one of those American media blackout issues that I don't think is going to stand for much longer, just because it is causing this across-the-board fury. I mean, it's happening above so many people's heads, and it's giving them headaches, and it's making
right.
their eyes hurt, and it's giving
right.
their kids respiratory problems, and
right.
you know, they're getting ticked off about it.
Right. Well, I just, with that note, I just wanted to make a quick station announcement that this, for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM, just across the way from Seattle in the United States, in North America, in the Milky Way galaxy, for those listening off-planet. We have a fascinating interview here with Randy Kramer. Randy, you know, there might be some questions out there from my many listeners. Do you mind if I give out a studio number? If people have questions, they could call
sure,
in?
Oh, sure, that's fine. I'm good with questions.
Okay, then we'll continue on. Our studio number here for questions, if you'd like to ask questions for Randy, it's area code 425-373-5527. Or toll-free within Western Washington at 1-888-298-5569. Randy, how long did they ask you to... Is this an indeterminate disclosure now that you'll be keep doing this until your superiors feel like the information's gotten out? Or what will you be doing next with this information, trying to get it out as much as possible?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, except... taking it one day at a time, because certainly as mm-hmm. circumstances change, you know, I get regular intelligence briefings and regular reports from my superiors, which may include, oh, hey, this happened, so change of plans this week. And every once in a while that happens, something mm-hmm. will occur, and you know, if you turn on the news, you know, something happened today, change of plans, and mm-hmm. and that's just because we're in an ever-changing, you know, sort of situation. So I expect that I'm just going to do this job until the next job, and then the next job is these sort of, you know, my duties make themselves apparent as to what I can do, what I should do, and what energy is sort of able that I am to put on things that I seem to be what should happen and what matter. I mean, I wasn't necessarily anticipating or planning, you know, giving a lecture talking about the laws of psionics until James and Ashley were like, oh, you're coming up, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I am coming up. What am I talking about again? And it really just, in the conversation with my superiors, was like, what should I talk about? I get so bored of and tired of just talking about, you know, I know people love to hear about, you know, what's going on Mars and what's happening in the fleet and everything. And
sure.
I get personally tired of talking about those experiences because those are also like my personal trauma experiences. So it's not the most fun for me to just talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he essentially said, well, you know, talk about the thing that is probably most like important right now, which is everyone's trying to focus on their consciousness and their mental ability.
Hello, Randy, are you there? Hello. I hope I'm still on the air. We've just lost Randy. What a shame. We'll try to get him back, but I just wanted to remind everyone that my dear friend Ray Chandran's in town. He's giving a workshop tomorrow. He's at the Interfaith Community Sanctuary over in Ballard on 67th Street. He's a fascinating guy. He's one of the world's best spiritual healers, certainly the best one in Japan. He has a large international following, and he'll be doing a workshop tomorrow. This is a golden opportunity to meet Mr. Chandran. It's $100 for the workshop tomorrow, and if your students are low income, don't worry, come anyway and just pay have a 50% discount on the registration. He'll also be doing readings on Sunday and Monday. If you'd like a reading from Ray, just give me a call or send me an email. My telephone number is 509-750-9793. That's 509-750-9793, and my toll free number is 1-888-879-8339. And my email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Well, my wonderful sound engineer tries to get Randy back on the line. He's not that far away. He's in Eugene, Oregon. We'll try to get him back on the line here. I wanted to tell you about next week's program. During the first hour on July 24th, I have a pre-recorded interview with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, one of America's best psychics. She'll be on for the first hour. On the second hour, we will have a very, very special program dedicated to helping the people who live in Fukushima in Japan. And with me on the program will be Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project, a wonderful person who's been doing really, truly admirable work in spreading love and gratitude around the world. And also, too, we'll be having on a famous American singer named Kristen Hoffman. She's actually from New York City, but she's in Tokyo doing some wonderful charitable work for the Emoto Peace Project in the Emoto office, and they'll be joining us on for the second hour. And we have Randy back on the line. Randy, are you there?
I am here. Sorry, that was an odd thing. My phone just sort of randomly turned itself off, apparently.
Well, you know, I know there's probably entities out there and perhaps even governments who don't want you to talk about this, but I'm glad you're able to talk today. So
no worries. It's not the first time that I've had an interview with someone and had phone interference, radio interference.
Sure.
They just shut down the three-way conversation. You know, we're having,
sure,
you know, or something.
Sure.
It wouldn't be the first time.
The
first interview I did with Michael Sala, it was actually an audio video that we did on Skype, and then he went back. Sort of extract the original files to put them up. Someone had gone through and deleted all the audio portions, essentially making that version useless, and the one he had saved, which was just an audio version, is still up. I still have a link to that. But yeah, they essentially deleted all the audio on the original conversation we had.
Well, I wanted to share this funny story. I hope this, I'm just checking now. I guess they told me it's all right to tell. I was at James's ranch recently, and I said, what kind of response have you gotten? He says, James told me on his ranch in Trout Lake, Washington, they have UFOs landing there all the time. You can see them every night. There's also a tremendous amount of really fascinating spirit activity. And when I was there a couple of weeks ago, there was a group of Japanese tourists and Australian tourists that were there. And they, did you meet them, by the way, when you were there, Randy?
I did not.
Them? Okay. Okay, well, there's a healing circle and a vortex, James says, right in the middle of his ranch. So I went out there with the other tourists, and James had contacted telepathically a Pleiadian ship up in the heavens. We could see it. It was yellow and pinkish red, and it was in the fifth and sixth dimensions. They weren't physical in this third, but they were. They were from the Pleiades, they were members of the Galactic Alliance, and they came down in a series of orbs, and you could actually physically see the orbs floating around. And they went to various members around this circle, and when they came to me, I was tired. I'd had a really busy last couple of weeks and been pushing myself pretty hard. And they came in and restored my energy, and after that I've felt great. I don't get tired, and it's really nice of them. I thanked them for doing that. But it's an amazing place. And when you go there, your entire energy just lifts right up. You feel so much better. So if you are interested in visiting his ranch, just send me an email or call me, and I can give you ways to get down there and the contact information for James. He's a wonderful guy, and that's where I met you too, Randy, when you were giving your speech there, presentation at the UFO conference there recently. And, you know, I think this is something for people to keep in mind, but the white light is always stronger than the dark. You know, even when you're having a bad day or always remember that it's far better to look at life through looking at a glass of water, for example, as being half full instead of being half empty. It's important to note that of the species that I know that who visit this planet, and I'm sure Randy, you can say lots about this. The two main groups are the Galactic Alliance, which are positively based, service to others, love based, if you will. And there's another whole set called the Reptilians and the Greys, and they feed off negativity and service to self. But but they're changing too, and I think eventually the white light will win out over the dark. And as James has said, he said this in a video on YouTube. He said, as far as spiritual evolution goes, resistance is futile, to borrow a Star Trek term. That resistance is futile because the planet itself is moving in a really positive direction, and we're all sort of light workers now. You're a light worker, Randy, trying to spread disclosure about these secret programs that people really should know about. And my program, too, I do my best to try to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. The wonderful people at the Emoto office in Tokyo try to spread love and gratitude so that in a simple way, but powerful way, that we can teach people the value of getting along in harmony and not fighting each other all the time. Because I think this planet is truly destined to evolve into a much happier and a better place in the coming years.
Oh, that's the plan, as far as I understand.
Yeah.
So I would tend to agree. I mean, I say this, if it were so simple that, the forces of light were way stronger than the forces of dark, or the forces of dark were way stronger than the forces of light, it would be over. We wouldn't be in a process, and we wouldn't be in a struggle, but I think that the presence of those who are showing up, and not just like showing up as far as physically appearing, but people who are here who are showing up,
right,
who are deciding to say, you know what, I'm going to show up for my life, I'm going to show up for who I am, I'm going to show up for the world, and deciding that, they're stepping into their bigger shoes of sort of their fate or their destiny. And I think that is more importantly happening, where we get to sort of take our collective democratic responsibility as a people and vote with our actions, and as well as voting with our voices and our hands and our choices, so that we can create the better world that we want. I would totally agree with that. But I think it's still a process. So I want to always encourage, when having that conversation, to say to anybody and everybody who thinks that they can just sit on their butt and relax now because we're coasting.
No, we're not coasting.
No, we're not coasting. There's a time for everybody still to get off their butt and participate and be a part of a solution and not a part of the problem. But I will absolutely agree that we are motivating and moving in directions where we have way more allies than we have enemies, and we have way more options than we have obstacles, and we're poised for a long-term victory, I think.
Well,
I could say that as a tactical advisor. I think we're poised for that. But I'm also a military officer, and so we win when we win, not 2 seconds before, but the moment, the second that we actually win.
Right.
But I think we're definitely moving towards that. Definitely. I'm very encouraged. I in my briefings that I get, sort of where we were at 2 years ago, and me looking at, oh, geez, this is not going to be fun.
Yeah.
Some of my comments, the sort of what people should expect, have changed a little bit, just based on what I think are how events have changed.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking, and people want to say we're on this total positive timeline. Yeah, again, if we were, everything would be fine. We have avoided some of the really nasty things that I think were going to happen. Doesn't mean that there still aren't options for nasty things that could happen, but we're definitely on the curve of having avoided some of the more worst disasters that I think were facing us in the last decade. So, fingers crossed that we'll keep moving on that curve.
Well, Randy, I have to tell you, as you've been speaking, as both of us have been speaking, this studio has gotten noticeably a lot whiter and lighter. And whenever that happens, with the white angelic light that comes in, I know we're on the right track, and we're getting help from places, people in spirits in high places. Also, I want to tell you that Ambassador Twillian has just popped in with me now, and he wanted to tell you that this is very important, the timeline changed about 4 or 5 years ago. Up until that point, we were headed to some really awful future events, but that's now completely changed, and we are on a much more positive future. We won't have the doom and gloom that some had predicted as recently as perhaps 6 or 7 years ago, because that's just not going to happen. They're not going to let it happen. They're saying now that they've the Galactic Alliance had stepped in actually during the 70s and 80s during the Cold War with the United States and then Soviet Union, that they'd actually shut down nuclear missiles, which are some of our military either hit, either the Soviets or the American military had hit, and we were going to destroy each other. But they wouldn't let that happen because we're wonderful spiritual, powerful spiritual beings, and they're not going to let us destroy ourselves.
I hope that's true.
Yeah.
All I can say is I've met some species who are very, 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 very sad because their world is gone and it's never going to come back to them. And
really?
So I live for a future where we don't ever have to be one of those sad, sad species that, you know, wishes we had our world back.
Randy,
so
could you speak up, my friend? Could you speak up?
Yeah, I said I just, you know, live to make sure that we're not ever one of those sad, sad species that does never get to go home again because we have no world, because there are some very, very sad species whose worlds are gone and they're never going to get them back.
Sure.
So I'm hoping as much as anybody else that we're not going to have to face that future. But I'm a military officer. I live to make sure we don't face that future. So.
Right, right. Well, my thanks again to you and to your superior officers for asking you, encouraging you to go forward with this information, because you are changing the world, making this better planet a better place with this information, Randy, and you're helping to increase consciousness and truly create a better planet. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ted. I do my best. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, listen, there's one more thing I wanted to tell you, and this is very important. My next week's show, a week from today, from 3 to 4 p.m., I will be having a special show on Fukushima. And I'll be bringing on Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project, as well as Kristen Hoffman. I mentioned that before, a famous singer from New York City who's been doing charitable work for the Emoto Group. And during that show, the reason I was requested, I was asked to do this by some ascended masters who said that they said that the Galactic Alliance, the Star People that they call them, have the technology to clean up Fukushima and the ocean, but they also want our help too to send the power of intention to do two things: to number one, ask them for their help, and also secondarily and most importantly, believe that Fukushima can be cleared up. And it was very interesting today. I was sitting in Ray Chandran's spiritual workshop here in Seattle. And he said that when people have problems, they do one of several different things. Sometimes they ignore it. Sometimes they run away from it. And they act like it doesn't exist. And with Fukushima, even though it happened during, I believe, in the spring of 2011, there were like four nuclear power plants, which basically had this China syndrome. They all melted. And this is four times worse than Chernobyl, which killed millions of people. But millions of people haven't died from Fukushima yet because the Galactic Alliance, I'm told, they tell me that they've stepped in and they cleaned up the entire Pacific last year, and they also cleaned up a lot of radiation around Japan. Unfortunately, there are no governmental efforts to do anything at all with Fukushima, and I think it's probably partially this, that they just don't know what to do. But one of the important things that that Mr. Chandran said in his workshop today, which I was there earlier with him, he said if people believe that something, that Fukushima can be cleaned up, then it will be cleaned up. But if you, on the other hand, believe that Fukushima can't be cleaned up, then it won't be cleaned up and it'll be there forever. Because Fukushima, the amount of radiation of Fukushima has the, I think it's got the propensity to destroy, to virtually really mess up life on this planet with all that radiation, but I don't think the Galactic Alliance is going to have let that happen, and they tell me they're not. Bester Twilling says he's not. They are not going to let that happen, but we need to do our part too, and at least trying and thinking in a good spiritual way and sending love and light to the, not only to the children, but also the people of Fukushima who live there, so they don't get cancer. And it is possible, they tell me, to help clean up this mess at Fukushima with our own belief systems. And I'm saying that not only as a psychic, but also based upon your research too with psionics.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think that, you know, it goes beyond just being able to sort of think as a group and manifest that it has to do with the mathematics of combined thought and how much that sort I think I've even said half jokingly, you know, if enough people believed in it, you know, Gojira might just rise up from the ocean, you know, and stomp Fukushima, you know, back into the ground, right? Like a Godzilla movie. But I'm not saying we should all, you know, like want that. I'm saying if enough people did, it could happen.
Right.
So, you know, certainly thinking in terms of, I mean, the thing I love about the Emoto Project is we understand that water crystals are one of the simplest things to affect with thought. So
right.
They're a simple sort of fluid motion that you can affect pretty easily with your thoughts.
Right.
You know, praying for the water and meditating on the water of the world, since the world is, you know, more than 75% water, or I like to remind people that 99% of the Earth's livable volume is water. So we may say it's 75%, but that's sort of surface. The livable volume is really 99% water, 1% land. So we're mostly, almost entirely water. Think about it. So focusing on that, you know, putting positive thoughts and energy into water is brilliant. It's really just a brilliant concept because it's one of the simplest things that we can do. And Fukushima is surrounded by a lot of ocean, and there's a lot of water that can go in and out. So that absolutely is a really great place to focus on. And again, I think I'm in agreement that by taking that mutual, you know, collective responsibility is also
right.
By someone else saying, hey, we can help you out here, but we're going to need you to, you know, help us believe, you know, and clap your hands three times and, you know, think about the water being clean. And that will also, you know, help that process along and make it happen. So not just letting someone else come along with the technology, but someone who has the technology to assist that we can also participate in. Yeah, I think that's always the best way to go. They're always going to want to rather have us learn something in the process of helping us rather than, you know, just do it for us.
Well, here's something special I want to share with everyone, my listeners in over 60 countries around the world, and here in the also in the 3.1 million area, Seattle area, that Mr. Chandran taught me a very important and very special ancient Egyptian healing sound this morning, and I'd like to share this, and I'm going to share it with everyone. I was going to wait till next week, but we've got some time to discuss it, and I'd like to just go ahead and share it now, and I'll also repeat it a week from today. It's called, it's from Archangel Metatron, a very powerful archangel, and saying this, Mr. Chandran says, and Archangel Metatron says, this will help open up the portals for healing of the radiation around Japan and Fukushima and in the Pacific Ocean, so the people in Japan won't get cancer and won't be affected about it, and help get rid of the actually can get rid of the radiation as well. So if you have a few minutes and you're listening out there, if you don't mind repeating this after me, I'll say it first and then I'll repeat it again. El An Ra. And if you don't mind, go ahead and repeat this, and it'll open up the portals for higher spiritual forces to come in. And actually, they said I'd like for you to direct it at Fukushima, not only the people, but also the children as well, and the land and the area, the sea around Sea of Japan there, to get rid of the radiation so the people living there won't be affected by it. So let's do it again quickly. El An Ra. And then I want you to visualize love and light being sent to the people of Fukushima so they're protected, as well as people around Fukushima too, because I know the radiation is affected as well. And I want you to send love and light to the people of Japan and Fukushima so that this radiation can be cleaned up and they won't be affected by it. I'll be doing this again next week when we'll be having a program on that. I've been guided by my spiritual angelic guides to have this program, but I wanted to mention that today as well. Well, Randy, you know, we've got about 8 minutes left, plenty of time for you. Are there any areas you'd like to talk about, my friend? I know you have such an interesting background.
I can talk for days. I mean, I'm an old man. I'm an old, old, old man and
right.
A much younger body, so it's pretty easy for me to talk forever.
Well,
I'll just say this.
Okay.
I'll make a quick plug. I'm going to go ahead and do a full weekend on psionics at Yosemite Ranch again in late September, the weekend of the 24th to the 27th.
Okay.
We'll be finalizing all of that shortly, and we're all going to be able to be there as far as my support structure and people I'm going to need to show up. But we're going to do anyone who wants to do a serious conversation lecture about the laws of psionics, psionic self-defense, and the military psionic protocol, then that's the weekend to come.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Tell me, with your experience in the Earth Defense Force and living on Mars for all these years, did you ever engage in any time travel experiments, or were you able to get any information about what your superiors or yourself saw for the future, anything like that?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be at liberty to discuss that, only because I don't think that talking about the future does anybody any good, because the future's never set.
Okay.
And what we feel we understand and know about the future, you know, we're satisfied to know that we're continuing to do our jobs to help create, you know, a more positive future than ones that maybe have been an option in the past.
Sure.
But it's a delicate, tricky thing to know what is exactly going to happen in the future. So, and rather than talk about what we've seen or what we think, I can say, yeah, we've been fortunate enough to have conversations, you know, with people who are quite expert in time targeting and being able to see through the time stream, and we feel that we're working towards what we should be working towards. So that's about all I can really say about that.
Well, and I agree with you. And one of the things, I've been in touch with Nostradamus on the other side, and he said that the future is very fluid, depending upon our free will choices.
And I think too
for the future. Let's say, for example, someone tells you that you're going to win the lottery next year and be independently wealthy for the rest of your life.
Right.
Well, if you sit back and don't do anything, and you don't buy those lotto tickets, and you at least make the effort to buy a lottery ticket, then that's
right,
not going to happen.
Right.
So you know, and this goes for any psychic as well. If they tell you that certain things are going to happen, you always have to remember that things can be tempered by free will. Mm-hmm. And if you want good things to happen, it's always good to think in terms of a positive attitude, and be open to new good things. One of the things that my friend Ray Chandran talked about this morning is that if you want to receive something good, you also have to do something good as well. In other words, in a relationship, for example, if you want to find a wonderful, loving partner or a spouse, you have to give out love. In other words, you receive what you give out, in other words. And so there's always effort involved. So if you maintain, the most important thing I think in life is to maintain a positive attitude about everything, and always take the high road if possible with people and situations, even when things are difficult for you, because then you'd be surprised how much better things go. So that's just from my own experience. But you know, looking into the future and seeing things that are happening, I think it's not good to assume that something will happen. There's always effort involved, and if a good psychic tells you that there's good things in the future, that's wonderful. But you have to keep up working at it. You just can't sit back and do nothing.
I can remember from temporal dynamics class having an instructor try and explain how fate and destiny are sort of intertwined, and how there are certain things in your lifetime, if you don't do them, someone else will do it.
Right.
But there are also certain things that if you don't do it, or you do or you don't do it, someone might do it.
Right.
And then there are the things that if you don't do them, they're never going to get done.
Right.
So, you know, trying to understand that relationship too, that not everything is your destiny or your fate. You may hand that off to someone if you abdicate responsibility.
True.
Or someone may or might pick up that ball if you don't. Or there are just some things that if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen this lifetime.
That's true.
So, you know, trying to understand that it absolutely takes our participation, and that even if we decide not to participate, there's only this, well, maybe someone will, or this person might, or not at all, for certain things are going to happen. So you still have to fully engage with your life in order for your fate, your destiny to unfold.
Absolutely. Well, I know, for example,
something like that. I didn't get a good grade in temporal mechanics class, though.
That's all right. That's all right. Well, for example, this evening I know I have to be over in Seattle again, and if I don't get in my car and drive over there, I won't make it. So just to sit back and wait here,
right.
I'm not going to be transported magically over to Seattle. I have to get in my car and go. But Just hold on there, my friend. We've got about 40 seconds left, and I want to thank you, Randy, for coming on the show today. This has been another interesting, and I hope people find this interesting episode of show with Out of This World Radio with Randy Kramer, who's been on Mars for the past 17 years. Next week, we'll be having a very special show with Rosemary Ellen Guiley during the first hour, America's one of America's most famous psychics, followed by a very special program on Fukushima. And I want you to please all listen to that. I think you'll find it out of this world. And Randy, we got a few seconds left. I'd like to give you the floor to give your concluding remarks.
We have a presidential election process coming up, and what we have to have more than anything is to restore constitutionality and legality is participation. I want everyone to register to vote and participate, participate, participate. It is the illusion that they're all the same, that people aren't participating, and they're not all the same. You need to pay attention to who these people are and what they want to do with the world, and know that they're not all the same. So get out there and participate, be involved, and be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. Because if you're just one of those people that sits around at the end of election time and complains and you didn't vote, you have no right to complain.
Okay, well,
so I want to encourage people at this time to participate, participate, participate.
Okay, well, thank you, my friends, for coming on today, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye till next Friday.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, Randy. Take care.
Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth.